Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 to 21. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. 200 million horses with lions' heads, sprouting tails with serpents and breathing fire. Sounds more like something you'd see in an intergalactic horror flick than in the headlines of the news. But it is current news. A prominent feature in the recent presidential campaign was whether we should identify radical Islamic terrorism as such. The acts of Al-Qaeda and ISIS are examples of what is foretold in our text. But there's no room here for any snobbish self-righteousness. Because notice, the cry of the trumpet is a warning to Christians to repent of idolatry. Obviously, horses having lions' heads and multi-serpented tails and breathing fire are not a natural earthly phenomenon. So what do they represent? Isaiah 9, "The prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail." Or Jesus, remember, warned, you can recognize a false teacher by his fruit, namely the teaching that comes out of his mouth. And the fruit of this teaching is the fire, smoke, and sulfur of hell. Notice, there's no pretense in this description of this wearing a sheep's clothing of Christianity. Now, in this case, the lion who walks about seeking Christians that he may devour is the source of an openly non-Christian heresy. A heresy that comes up out of the Euphrates. Islam is a satanic imitation of Christianity. A false prophet with a false Bible, spewing a promise of heaven, bringing the fire of hell. But these assaults of Islamic terrorism, God warns, are used by him as a trumpet blast. Repent of idolatry. The invasions of Islamic terrorism in the 7th and 8th centuries and the 11th to the 16th century featured a multitude of horsemen conquering with a choice. submit to Allah or feel the scimitar. Those Muslims considered themselves Allah's avengers on a gross immorality and shameless immorality that was filling the so-called Christian nations. Today also, jihad against the satanic West is promoted by Islam, believing that it is indeed a divine judgment on the decadent materialism and horrendous immorality filling the West. Islam further inspires religious fanaticism with the satanic lie that is preached by the Quran. The sword is the key of heaven and of hell. A drop of blood shed in the cause of Allah, a night spent in arms, is of more avail than 2 months of fasting and prayer. Whosoever falls in battle, his sins are forgiven. At the day of judgment, his wounds shall be resplendent as vermilion and as odoriferous as musk, and the loss of his limbs shall be supplied by the wings of angels and cherubim. And according to the Quran, dying in jihad for Allah is the guarantee of possessing gardens, vineyards, and full-breasted virgins. So Christianity tells you about the true Lord who sacrificed his only son to save you by his grace. Islam tells you how you have to sacrifice yourself for your own sons in order to earn eternal carnal pleasures. Submission to Allah, they say, that's the key to becoming the virtuous person that can please Allah. But God warns that He uses their very vile terrorism as a judgment on a Christianity that has become permeated with the idolatries of evolution, abortion, sexual immorality of every kind, and an ecumenism that despises God's doctrines as mere human opinions, abandoning the truth for apostasy, and all the time forsaking the very gospel of Christ crucified. False teaching is as dangerous, more dangerous, than the venom of a serpent and the jaws of a lion. Yes, radical Islamic terrorism is a vile evil, but we are not just to point the finger at others. How often does our flesh yield to the idolatrous call to fulfill ourselves, hurting others to get our own way, manipulating instead of serving, venting anger instead of love, making sure we get the last word instead of forgiving, seeking sexual titillation rather than holiness to the Lord? But Jesus loves you so much that He will use even these vile Islamic attacks, terrorist attacks, to blast the trumpet calling all of us to a life of daily repentance, fleeing from sin, walking with Jesus. Jesus, who says to you, "It is I who will wash away your sins with my own blood and adorn you with the rich robes of my own righteousness." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 50, 5-0, the first two stanzas.